diseases. I tell you what, I've heard of designer dogs, but I never thought I would hear about designer mosquitoes. Really excited to learn more about them now. Dr. Marchek joins us on the phone. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Can you please explain to us a little bit about the types of threats that mosquitoes pose to human health? Why are they dangerous for us?
Yeah, so mosquitoes really are only dangerous because of their ability to transmit serious diseases. And a lot of people aren't aware of this, but historically they've been among the most significant causes of death in human history. And currently they cause over 700,000 deaths annually and hundreds of millions of cases of severe infections. And some of these infections can have lifelong impacts on someone's health, even if they do survive.
Mm. When I think of mosquitoes and the diseases that they transmit, we think of Zika and malaria and dengue. How do mosquitoes become infected, or how do they transmit these diseases?
Yeah, so for all of these diseases, they need both humans and mosquitoes to persist. And so the way this cycle basically works is you'll have a human that's infected with any one of these diseases, and then a mosquito will bite that human, and then that mosquito becomes infected. And then after a few days, when the next time it goes to bite a human being, then it'll be able to transmit that disease to the next uninfected human and continue the cycle. But it's important also to note that for each of these diseases, not all mosquitoes can transmit all the diseases. So the mosquitoes that spread malaria aren't the same ones that spread dengue and so forth.
Wow. Okay. How widespread an issue is this here in Australia? How rapidly are we spreading diseases in Australia via mosquitoes?
Yeah, so we're pretty lucky in Australia in that it's not a huge problem endemically. We do have some diseases that are spread locally, such as the Ross River virus. But most Australians are really at risk for mosquito-borne diseases when they go traveling to places like Southeast Asia or Latin America or any of the kind of tropical areas of the world. And several thousand Australians become sick while traveling abroad.
So tell us about engineered genetic incompatibility and how it can work to eradicate mosquito-borne diseases.
Yeah, so this is a technology that I'm working on in my lab. And the core idea behind engineered genetic incompatibility is that it's a method to engineer a speciation event in a sexually reproductive organism. And so this generates a population that is identical to the original population, but mating between the engineered and wild organism produces either sterile or non-viable offspring. And the way we envision implementing this for mosquito control is to combine it with another genetic circuit that prevents female mosquitoes, which are the ones that bite, from surviving in the wild. And what this will enable us to do is to produce centrally billions of eggs and then distribute them anywhere in the world where people need mosquito control. They would just add some water and nutrients. Only males will emerge from that. They'll go fly off and find wild females. And since wild mosquito females typically only mate once in their lives, mating with an engineered male will prevent reproduction and then reduce the population. So really the whole idea here is to develop a technology for mosquito control that's much, much more precise than a lot of the chemical pesticides that are out there now.
This is really interesting. This might be a really naive question or a silly question, but how then do we ensure that mosquito populations don't completely disappear if we're releasing these sterile males into the wild?
Right. Well, there are over 3,000 species of mosquitoes in the world, and only a handful of them are responsible for the vast majority of this human suffering. And so, for example, the Aedes aegypti mosquito, which is the primary vector of Zika, dengue, yellow fever, and a few other diseases, it's actually an invasive species outside of sub-Saharan Africa. So
wow.
It doesn't belong in most of the places where it's a major problem. And so if we get rid of it there, that would actually be an ecological benefit. And also, you know, there are so many of these other mosquitoes that are out there that aren't spreading diseases that can fulfill any kind of ecological role that most people that have kind of studied this question don't think it's going to be an issue. But if there are some unanticipated effects from these mosquitoes, from us getting rid of these mosquitoes, well, we can always just bring them back.
Yeah, well, exactly. They seem to be everywhere, don't they?
Right. Exactly. That's not going to be a problem.
Well, this is really interesting. Have you been able to genetically engineer these male mosquitoes yet? How far off this being implemented are we?
Yeah, so this is a system that, initially a few years ago, I demonstrated the proof of concept of this system in yeast. And then now We've been optimizing it a bit in fruit flies because it's a lot easier to genetically engineer and manipulate fruit flies, and it's working pretty well there. And so now finally that we have some better ideas of how exactly to design this system, we're just getting the ball rolling on engineering this in mosquitoes. But hopefully within a couple of years, we'll have this system ready to start doing some trials. So it's going to be a kind of a slow process of, once you have the system working, doing some small cage trials and small field trials in a way that we really understand very carefully how this system is going to perform before we do anything on a large scale.
This could be incredibly, incredibly important and an incredibly useful tool for stopping the spread of these diseases. Unfortunately, Marcek, we're going to have to leave it there. But thank you so much for joining us this morning and explaining more about your research.